Good afternoon. On Wednesday, April 12, 2006, you're listening to Brian Madden Live. We are recording live from Bri Forum 2006 in Washington, D.C. It is our lunch break currently, and I have the pleasure of sitting down with Jeff Pitch.
Hey, Brian.
So, Jeff, thanks so much for joining me today.
Not a problem.
And so I guess, firstly, one of the things I want to talk about with you is Citrix's Advanced Access Control. Mm-hmm. Because that's a session, you gave the session here, I think you did it already, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yesterday afternoon.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Advanced Access Control, because all I know about Advanced Access Control is it involves the Citrix Access Gateway, and it hooks it into Presentation Server.
Yep.
And that's about it. So what is Advanced Access Control?
Well, the Advanced Access Control is two pieces. First, it's the Access Gateway, which is the NAT6 hardware appliance that Citrix had bought. And then the software component, which runs on back end of Windows and whatnot. And it's the Advanced Access Control that really gives you the ability to define levels of trustworthiness of a client. And based on those levels of trustworthiness, it then you can assign what sort of access they have to your network.
And so this is when Citrix is talking about stuff like, they talk about the dimmer level of trust, because you can use the regular Citrix Access Gateway as a standard vanilla SSL VPN, and it works fine. But now Citrix is saying where you can identify if someone's running certain processes on their machines or in the domain or not, and then based on that, do certain things within Citrix. That's where Advanced Access Control comes into play.
Right, and it goes beyond. I mean, even if you don't have Citrix or Presentation Server even in place, this still does everything without it. It is a standalone product. I mean, it does integrate, but it's also standard. You don't need Presentation Server in place. So, for instance, you know, probably the basic level is, do you have VPN access or not? And based on that, you know, if you have VPN, great. You're in as a normal VPN connection. If you don't have a VPN connection, it then it doesn't actually allow you to become a node on the network, but it starts doing everything through web pages. And within your policies, you say, what file shares do you have access to? What internal websites do you have access to? You can also put in web interface, your web email if you're using OWA or Exchange or Notes. And based on that, you then have levels within even those areas. So take file shares, for instance. It's displaying this all within a web page.
Okay, so I hit the websites. I authenticate there. And then so it's exposing files like as hyperlinks on the web page?
As hyperlinks, it's proxying that information that you see, and it's pretty much a standard website. And for the basic navigation of the entire thing, you don't need anything special on it. So, I mean, if you have Safari or Mozilla or, you know, IE, you can get to these resources as is. And then based on that, you know, take a file share, for instance. If you click on the file share, you click on a file, you then have options that are given out from an administrator, whether you can simply preview the document within a web page, or whether you can edit the document, and they have this thing called Live Edit, which allows you to actually edit the document from within a web page, or you can do file type associations, much like Program Neighborhood Agent does, where you tell it that you want to edit it within a Citrix session, basically. And so you have all these different levels of what you can allow, you know, and then you can even allow users to upload files or even download the files to their hard drive. So you really have much more control over what's happening without having to grant them full access to the network.
So this kind of goes much beyond like what web dev might from Microsoft, because it sounds like when it exposes your files via the website, this is not just hyperlinks to the actual document files themselves, but rather they're links you click on, but then it's kind of running through their engine, and then they are providing the interface to you instead of just downloading the documents.
Right, they're proxying everything. And, you know, I mean, to me, I look at this product as the beginning of the realization of your security policies. I mean, every company has security policies. And in the past, it's been, you know, you're not supposed to take these documents off-site. You're not supposed to do this to them. You're not supposed to do that to them. And if you do that, well, bad things are going to happen. you know, we're not sure what, but bad things are going to happen. This is really the beginning of being able to take those policies that are already in place and then actually enforce them on users without having to rely on, you know, is Joe Blow actually doing what he's supposed to be doing?
Yeah, I guess because the IT policies have always lagged far behind business policies. I mean, as far as, because you could even argue that the domain admin, you know, if you look at their business policy, they're probably not supposed to do things like spy on other people's email. But typically, there's nothing in the IT world that would ever prevent them from doing whatever. And I guess when you say the same thing, like policy is you should never access your data from home or certain data. But the thing is, if you get VPN access into the company, then, yeah, maybe the business policy says you shouldn't do that, but there's nothing technically stopping you from doing that.
Exactly. And, you know, this is your chance, you know, if you want to make sure that, you know, HIPAA information is probably a great thing. You know, HIPAA information is not supposed to leave the company. And, you know, this is your chance to say, look, we're going to give you the ability to minimally view the files, or we'll even give you the ability to edit the files. But the files are never actually downloaded onto the client. For instance, you know, say they have this live edit page thing where you can actually edit it within the web page. Well, all that information is actually just simply stored in memory, you know, encrypted up in the memory, and it's never saved to disk. There's no temp files. There's no nothing like that. And then once they close it, it's gone. You know, it's out of the memory. So, you know, you're not leaving a footprint anywhere for someone to take that information.
And so you can't get around it, like, with the right click and save as and copy and all that sort of stuff.
No.
So, yeah.
No.
So, okay, well, I know Citrix also talks about Smart Access. You say this is a standalone product. Is Advanced Access Control the name of the product, or is Smart Access the product, or is it?
Advanced Access Control is the product name. The Smart Access is their description of it. And the Smart Access is basically evaluating the end client, and based upon the criteria that you've specified, that's the level of access you're going to grant. So, you know, you have these endpoint analysis scans that basically go through and pick up the, you know, like you mentioned, you know, Windows domain, what McAfee version are they running, you know, what firewall are they running? And based upon these criteria, you can say, okay, they're running these things, therefore you can get full VPN access and it's standard VPN access. But if you know, for some reason your firewall's not on, you're not running a you know, we don't trust any other firewall but Zone Alarm, then, you know, you're not going to get VPN access, but we are going to allow you to access these resources.
So if you have the full support, maybe you have the corporate AV software running, then they can give you a VPN access that you can use to map a drive to the network file share. But if you don't have the AV software, you can still access the files via this web interface you're talking about, so you can still kind of get your data, but you can't actually do anything to data.
Exactly. Yeah. And you've got levels of access based on that. And once you're out, I mean, because really the VPN side is that's the side you're going to grant, you know, the absolute trusted machines. It's really the AAC, and that's all still handled by the access gateway. So, I mean, if you're granted VPN access, you're not even really using advanced access control.
Right, because really that's only the, as you say, the most trusted case. So you would, I guess in practice, you would make this the most kind of locked down in terms of, I guess, or highest requirements. You have to meet all of these requirements, and only if you meet these requirements, then you can get VPN access. But if you don't meet these requirements, that's where you're saying, that's really where the advanced access control comes in, so where you can move down the slider scale to say, well, you authenticated correctly, but we don't recognize your machine, so we'll just give you access via the web or whatever.
Right. And then within that, those web pages, that's where you're really sitting there and saying, okay, you know, I've evaluated your machine. I don't see that you're running an antivirus program. We're only going to give you the ability to view documents. You can't edit them. You can't touch them. You can only view them. And then, you know, you can say, okay, you're running antivirus, but you're not running a firewall, so we'll give you access to actually edit the document through live edit. But if you're running, you know, the firewall and the antivirus, then we'll give you the ability to edit the documents through a local presentation server. And if you're, you know, or you know, you, so you can set up these different levels, and based on those levels, you know, that's the access that you're getting.
So you kind of, I guess in practice, you would what? First, you kind of configure all the different options, I mean, as far as like the different levels you're talking about. And then once you build, so you build your levels, say, can't do this, can't do that, can't, and all these sorts of things. And then from there, you figure out which endpoint analysis applies to which levels? Or
yeah, you know, this is one of those products, and I know this is said a lot, but this is really one of those products that you need to spend 80% of your time up front doing the design, because it makes it a lot clearer. You know, you really need to sit and define what resources you're going to allow access to. At what, you set up basic, a decision tree, basically, that says, you can say based on this criteria, these are the resources. But, you really got to go through and figure out what resources you're going to allow access to, who's going to have access to those resources. You know, you, the last part of your implementation should literally be configuring the AAC.
Based on your documentation, hopefully it should take you only half a day once you get it all worked out.
Exactly. Yeah. And I know a lot of people will sit back and say, everyone says that. But this is one of those products that there is so much to the product in so many ways that you could mistakenly give access to a user without even realizing it, that you really need to make that whole, you really need to complete that decision tree ahead of time, and it will make your life a lot. It'll be a much shorter implementation when you actually go to do it than if you didn't do it ahead of time.
Now, one thing that you said is that there's a server component in addition to the Citrix Access Gateway. So I thought this was just something that was part of the Citrix Access Gateway, but there's actually Advanced Access Control Server?
Yeah, the AAC is actually a Windows server that sits on the back end. It uses an MSDE database or a SQL database, whichever one you want to use. But it is a Windows box, and it's running IIS, and that's what's serving up all the web pages. The AAC at that point is really just acting as a proxy.
The CAG, you mean, is acting?
Gateway is actually using, it's really just being used to encrypt the information.
Oh, so Advanced Access Control is an IIS application.
Yes.
Essentially.
Yeah.
And CAG is just your front end.
It's doing the encryption.
And then, of course, I guess if your client is trusted enough that you meet the requirements with this endpoint analysis, when you connect, that you are allowed to have the VPN connection, that's where it kind of hands it back over to the CAG, and then you have just sort of standard CAG SSL VPN connection.
Yep. Yeah. At that point, you're really not doing. You can do VPN and AAC stuff. I mean, you could have a user VPN in, as well as display to them like file links and stuff like that. But really, the whole VPN connection is being taken completely care of by the Access Gateway, and it really has nothing to do with the AAC server itself.
And so I know that AAC does tie into presentation server. And so you mentioned like you can figure out what documents are made available and whether you are allowed to use them and edit them via a published application or via the live edit technology. Mm-hmm. So how does that work as far as tying in? I mean, how does the presentation server know to kick it off? Is it like web interface where it makes ICA files? Or?
It's interesting. The presentation server itself doesn't really know that there's an AAC box there. It's what's happening is really all that stuff is kind of being controlled by the AAC server. When that like we all know with PS3 and PS4, they introduced when you're publishing an application, it's got that one part of the wizard, the one part of this, when you're publishing that says, do you want to allow access through MSAM, I think is what they still use there, and that type of thing. Well, that's the part that you can use AAC to actually configure. You're actually using the filters that you applied for you're actually taking the filters that you created in AAC that you were using for your policies to determine what type of access. You can actually apply those within those published apps. But those policies only take place when you're actually going through AAC so it's the presentation server itself doesn't need any reconfiguration. Because it's when you're displaying the information, the web interface, it's kind of hard for me to describe. The web interface piece, you actually assign a web interface web resource within AAC, and that's version 4.2 that you need to run of web interface. And it's kind of a combination of web interface taking care of reading the filters correctly and pulling in the information. So, I mean, I guess get back to the original question. It's presentation server really doesn't know anything about AAC. It's really the AAC taking care of
through the web interface 4.2, making sure that I guess once the user gets to presentation server doesn't really care where they came from. It's just
right. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people know about like the Hite apps that Thomas
yeah.
has on his website. And that's really what's happening is kind of an extension of that in that it's reading in the published application information. You know, when it's going to display what applications you have access to, well, it's taking one extra step and looking at that part of that filter that you've assigned to the published app, and then from there, you know, it's determining whether it displays it or not.
Okay, so basically Web Interface 4.2 has more intelligence in the XML communication when the Web Interface server communicates with the back-end Citrix server via that XML service, and that's where it can just make sure that if it's an AAC scenario, that it is then respecting the configuration to only provide applications that are appropriate for that connection.
Correct, yeah.
So how about on the policy side of things? Because I know that a lot of people, their only exposure to this is via Citrix policies in PS4. When you apply policies and you apply policy filters, we now have options, like instead of just server and user and everything, I think there's a smart access option within the policy engine. So I assume that, is that also tying into AAC?
It is, but I'll be truthful, I haven't played with that.
Well, and that's one thing,
but
one thing we talked about, because I know that in your case, you were at Briform last year and spoke on security. And you and I sort of chatted about topics and batted around a few different things. And so you kind of took on, you know, your history is an expert within presentation server. And I feel like you were sort of the elected one within the community to sort of really take on and jump into AAC and kind of sink your teeth into it and figure out how it works and everything. So let me ask you that. So. I mean, AAC itself has only been around, what, 4 months, something like that. And,
right.
And so within the past couple of months, you've really jumped into it yourself. So what have you found? I mean, is it like you expect, or is it confusing, or does it work well? Or
It is essentially a 1.0 product. I mean, even though the versioning is 4.2, it really is a 1.0 product. But what I like is that, I mean, there's a lot of little issues with it, as with any product. You know, it's still being put together. There are still... I kind of call it like it's kind of like a Frankenstein beast right now. You know, there's pieces and parts that are not very well integrated quite yet, that type of thing. But there's so much potential to this. If it's developed correctly and brought forward by Citrix, I think this could be a really, really great product. Because this is really your ability to take, like I said, take those policies and actually enforce those security policies that you've had for years. And I think as users become more roaming, as you know, you're logging in, you know, from, you know, thin clients or your laptop or you know your mother's PC at home, you have to, companies are going to have to take that into effect and be able to effectively deliver, applications and resources. And I think this is a great, I think it's a great first step. But it needs to go more, but this really is a great first step.
Okay, so if people want to play with AAC themselves and kind of give themselves the only kind of crash course that you gave yourself in the past few months, what do you recommend based on, you know, what should we look at, the documents, or how do we build it? What should we look for if we want to educate ourselves for AAC?
Well, you know, the crazy thing is that AAC in and of itself, because it's running on IIS, it's a separate component right now, you can actually access AAC in and of itself without requiring the access gateway. The only thing you wouldn't be able to do are the VPN pieces and parts. But the hardest part is then you still need licenses. There's no grace period anymore with the Citrix products. So you'd still have to...
Does this use the same license server, like a regular Citrix license server?
It does. It does. You just need the specific license for the AAC component. It's very easy to play with if you don't have the access gateway. So if you wanted to download the software and play with it strictly as an administrator, that would work. You could do that.
Just to get started, at least.
Just to get, yeah.
And also, I think we had a show earlier where we talked about virtualizing the Citrix Access Gateway. So whether that's legal or not is notwithstanding. But, I mean, it's definitely possible. If you have access to the code, you can grab that ISO. And we now have step-by-step instructions on how to throw the Access Gateway into a VM so you can play with that.
Well, you know, to me, your earlier session today, somebody had brought up VMware Player. And to me, you know, VMware Player is a great way to demonstrate this stuff. I mean, you know, Citrix doesn't have to send around hardware to everybody. Just give them a VM of the Access Gateway with VM Player, and you're up and running.
All their employees are going to VMware anyway. So,
you know, I think that's great potential for VMware Player as an
cool.
Access
so
Gateway demonstration.
If you could download it, because they're self-extracting and unpacking and everything. So if you could go to Citrix.com. And all right, well, so if anyone from Citrix Access Networking Group is out there, hopefully we'll see something soon. And they could even probably make a pretty quick turnkey licensing thing, like maybe make it so it's limited to only 5 concurrent tunnels, or maybe make it so you get a 30-day license only or something like that. But it seems like it would not be too hard to do that sort of thing.
No, no, and I'd love to see them move that way. But I'd like to see them move that way with all their products. I mean, because right now you cannot download eval versions of
that
any
is
of their
true.
Products.
And that's one of the things in the forums, as far as kind of a newbie question that comes up most, is just how do I get it to play with?
Yeah.
And, it's very different than like with the Microsoft products, where anyone can download a 180-day eval and be running with it right from there.
Yeah, and that's a big, because it used to be XP, you'd get 30 days. You'd get 30 days right out of the box, but now you don't even get, you get like a day. So,
well, shifting gears, so we're halfway through the final day of Briarform. So how's the show been for you this year?
It's been very good, very good. Boy, we've had excitement with being kicked out of the building. And,
and the bomb scare also. So people listening, I don't know if we explained this in the show yesterday, you know, so there was a fire not on our floor, and we had to evacuate the whole building. And so a lot of people went back to their hotels because the hotels are so close. So the building was reopened, and then in the building across the street, there was a bomb scare, and the police blocked off the roads. So a lot of people who went home during the time that we were out of the building for the fire couldn't get back into the building because the police had blocked off the roads for the separate incident. So far today has gone without incident.
Yeah.
And I think our sessions are getting started, so we should jump back into it. Well, Jeff, I really appreciate you taking the time for this.
Well, thank you for having me.
And hopefully we'll talk more about AAC as we, as the industry and you spearheading, kind of figure out more stuff. So thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you.
Today's show is copyright 2006 by the Brian Madden Company. Recorded from Briarform 2006 in our final day. We thank you all for listening, and we'll hear us again soon.